let's dive in with Vancouver's goaltending scenario here first. And
let's start easy.
you've been a goaltending coach in the National Hockey League, time in St. Louis, time in Arizona, time with the Toronto Maple Leafs as well. Corey, how do you handicap things, or how do you play things in your mind with Nilsson coming off a shutout, but now you've got back-to-backs here and Nilsson's got his former team tomorrow night? How do you look at things here going forward?
Well, I think that the goaltending competition is wide open now. I know it's only one game, but when you watch Nilsson play, and I watched him practice, and he made me nervous in practice, I'll be honest watching him. But when I watch him in the game, he's very composed. He's very compact. He moves really efficiently. And he's could be a really good find, but it's only been one game, so let's not go too crazy. However, the interesting thing to me was by giving Nilsson the start in Ottawa, kind of meant that he was going to play. They play 3 and 4, two of the next three. So that tells me that Coach Green, he's going to play one of the next two, unless someone stands in there, unless Markstrom plays tonight and stands on his head. I don't know, but it just shows me that this competition is open. And I had originally thought, well, okay, they're going to kind of hand the ball to Markstrom and let him just kind of run with it and see what happens. But by the way things have gone, it looks like Coach Green is just saying, hey, this is open. Who's going to take it? And I think if I'm them, I play him again tonight. He's coming off a shutout. Like, keep him going.
Why did Nilsson make you nervous, by the way, in practice? And then I'll ask you something about Buffalo as well. But
I saw him let in a backhand goal from the blue line in practice one day. And I just
all right, that's fair.
Oh, it reminded me of my days a little bit. But, that's a whole other story. But, see, for goalies, though, you have to remember, like, practice is so much different for goalies. Like, technically, we can get better and work on our skills and all that. But you really need game experience to become a good goalie. Because it's such a different thing. There's such a mental aspect to it. And there's a lot of guys I know that were very good practice goalies that were great, great game goalies. Carey Price is a terrible practice goalie. I could score on him. And he's probably the best goalie in the National Hockey League.
Well, not recently.
Not recently.
Yeah, six straight.
We know he's going to get it together.
He will eventually.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this question. Somebody called me yesterday, a friend of mine who's a goaltender, and said to me that he was impressed with Nilsson because of how easy he made it look, and he didn't have to make any spectacular save because he had really great positioning. And he said that's what worried him about Markstrom, was Markstrom was called upon to make like a couple of like really reach along type saves, meaning to him he was out of position.
Yeah, and Markstrom makes some really good, he makes a save on Burrows at home against Ottawa that was off the charts, and he's made some unbelievable, but he kind of tends to overplay things at times. He's a little too active in the net for me right now, but I am not going to sit here and say, hey, one guy is better than the other at this point after one game for Nilsson, and I still believe in Markstrom. I still think he's a good goalie. I think he's a little bit overactive right now, and if Kluche can get that under control, I think we have a pretty good tandem. But that's going to sort itself out. I mean, we're five games in, so that'll sort itself out, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
We're looking ahead to this afternoon's Canucks Bruins game here on Sportsnet 650 with Sportsnet 650 hockey analyst Corey Hirsch. And Corey, an eyebrow raiser, I think, after the dust settled on Vancouver's 3-0 shutout in Ottawa two nights ago. You know, a win's a win, and you in the moment you appreciate it, but when you start crunching the numbers, I think the two numbers that really kind of jumped out were the minutes that Daniel and Henrik logged. Travis Green isn't playing around with these guys, and I guess the transition is happening, I think, quicker than anticipated. Is this based on just sometimes the lack of special team opportunities and power play minutes that are available, the way that these minutes are being managed, where Daniel and Henrik played 12 and a half minutes? I mean, we're talking about a significant drop-off from what we've seen in recent years. And, they've varied anywhere between 17 minutes to 12 and a half minutes, but 12 and a half is definitely somewhat alarming when your captain of the team is one of those guys.
Right, but to me, Daniel and Henrik are 12 to 14 minute players right now. They're 38 years old, they're older. That's where they're going to be effective, because they're not going to be able to play against the other team's top players all the time anymore. It's just way it is. So get them. They're still highly skilled, highly good players, but get them out against the other team's second line, third line, fourth line. Give them an opportunity to be successful. And so those minutes are perfect. They're not a first power play unit group anymore. So they should not be going out on the first unit playing against the other team's top penalty killers. Get them out against the second tier penalty killers for the other team. That's where they're going to be effective. And they'll actually, I think what will happen is that they'll actually relish that, because it is hard to be the age that they are and to play against the other team's top players every night. I mean, these guys are 21, 22, 23 years old, the best players on other teams, and they're fast and they're hard to play against. If we can get the Sedins out against their second and third units on the power play or even strength, they're going to have more success.
Let's talk about Jake Virtanen. He didn't play a shift. He played one shift in the third period in the last game. Tonight, to me, would be a perfect game to see a lot more of Jake Virtanen, especially the physical Jake Virtanen against Boston.
Yeah, Jake drops off for me. So he's great in the first period, and then he slowly just kind of just drops off as the game goes on. And I think Coach Green recognizes that. So that's something that Jake's going to have to work on. He plays hard. He plays a hard game. He goes out there in the first period and gives everything he has. And then I'm not sure he has the ability to monitor that. Sometimes you've got to pace yourself a little bit, so you're just as good in the third period as you are in the first period. And that's something that Jake will figure out as he gets older. But also in the third period, when you're up 2-0, are you really going to put your youngest players out there unless they're super? Probably not. I mean, you're going to go to your Horvats, and the Berchi Besser Bermistrov line was outstanding. They deserved the minutes that they got the other.
Corey, how does a player like Virtanen learn how to play like that if he doesn't get an opportunity to do it?
Well, just experience, being around, getting into games. It's not about so much his minutes, but it's about learning and working on that as games go by. That's how he's going to get better. As long as he's in the lineup and he figures that out and coaches work with him, he's going to get better. There's people like, well, send him to Utica then, so he gets the minutes. You know what? He's an NHL player. And he needs to learn that at the NHL level. So some guys figure it out, some guys don't. And he might be the guy that during his whole career, in the third period, he doesn't get as many shifts. And I know a lot of guys that made a lot of money accepting that role. So it's not as bad as you think.
We're talking with Corey Hirsch, looking ahead to the Bruins and Canucks here this afternoon on Sportsnet 650. Power play is anything but powerful. It certainly had its struggles. But, you know, from a positive standpoint, when it comes to special teams, the penalty killing unit is one of the best in the league right now, sitting fourth overall in the National Hockey League. Tell me what you've liked and what you've seen from the PK that seems to be way more effective this time around.
Well, what I like is I like good Branson. He blocks shots. He hits. Delzotto seems to be playing better the more minutes he gets. I really give credit to that decor now that Edler's out. Those guys have done a really nice job of doing some good penalty killing. And also, it's goaltending, right? They got goaltending the other night. The Canucks are a team, most teams are like this, but especially the Canucks, if you don't get goaltending, if they don't get goaltending, they're not going to win, and their penalty kill's not going to be successful. The other night against Ottawa, they got goaltending, and that makes a huge difference. But I like what they're doing on the PK, and then the power play the other night was actually a lot better because of the fact that they switched, like I said, the Sedins into a second unit. And got Berchi and Bermistrov and Besser out in the first unit, and it just seems to work. And it's just right now it's kind of like a trial by error a little bit moving forward. But this team isn't, like I said, I've said all along, this team isn't as bad as everybody thinks they are. They just need some time, and if they get goaltending, they have a chance
and capitalize on some of their opportunities. You touched on Gudbranson, and I know for a lot of Canucks fans listening right now, you love to make Eric Gudbranson your whipping boy. And there's a lot of people that, you know, that gripe and moan about a guy like Eric Gudbranson, but he reminds me in some ways of Hal Gill. And here's a name for you, Corey, that here was a guy that if you managed his minutes, he was a really effective defenseman where you liked him at 18 minutes a night, but when he was playing north of 20, that's where a guy like that got into trouble. But as a big guy, those guys are great on penalty kills because Gudbranson's 6'5". Like, that guy, that means he's got a long stick, an opportunity to block a lot of shots out there, and Gudbranson has shown to be effective by and large this season.
Yeah, he's, I mean, and he hits like a truck. Like, I've seen him hit people, and what people do, I mean, he was a third overall pick, right? So you're thinking, well, you should have got a Connor McDavid for that, or a Taylor Hall or something, right? You had the third pick, and that's not his fault where he went in the draft. That's just who he is. But how he plays, I'm becoming a fan more and more every time I watch him play, just because of his size and he blocks. He's not afraid. He gets in there. He's aggressive. He's not a soft player, and he's a hard player to play against. So I watch that, and for the third overall pick, like I said, you think you should be getting a Drew Doughty or something back there, but that's not his fault where he went in the draft. But as far as where he sits for the Canucks, I've really liked him, and he's been better than I thought he would be.
Let's talk about the name everyone loves to talk about in this city, and that's Brock Besser. Had a goal the other night, looked pretty good with that line, as you mentioned already. He played 16 minutes. Do you think that'll start to increase as we go along here as far as minutes are concerned? He's just so effective when he's on the ice.
Well, I like his line. I like who he's with Berchi and Burmistrov. So as long as that line continues to play well, I think he'll get more and more minutes. Sitting him the first two games, that doesn't seem like such a bad thing now, because as a player, he's gone out and he's like, you're never going to sit me again, and I'm going to show you that you're never going to sit me again, right? So a little bit of a lesson at the start of the first two games, even though he probably didn't deserve to sit, and we all wanted to see him. But early in his career, that's like, you know, almost a lesson in itself to say that you never, ever want to have to sit out again. So we're seeing him play at top level, top minutes right now. I would like to continue to see him play these minutes, but let's just wait. You know, let's just see how this thing goes along and see how it goes. But it seems they found a top line for me. But other teams are going to start keying on that too, right? They're not going to let Brock Besser just shoot the puck like they have been. And let's see how he goes when he has to adjust when other teams start to learn who he is around the league.
Hershey, appreciate it. Look forward to the game tonight. You got the call coming up in, what, just over 8.5 hours from now. So get to work over there.
it's perfect. It's a beautiful day, so it's all good.
Awesome. All right, thank you. All right, that's Corey Hirsch, Sportsnet 650 hockey analyst, looking ahead to this afternoon's Canucks-Bruins tilt from Boston. Puck drop at 4 o'clock. We got the pregame for you here beginning at 3.